Job chapter 3, verse 1. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. In chapter 3, Job seems to take a turn. I mean, it's hard to read because you get the end of chapter 1 and you're like, yes, he glorified God, he worshiped him. But now you read, okay, now he starts cursing the day of his birth. It's a difficult chapter to read because you look at verse 11. He says, why did I not die at birth, come out from the womb and expire? Later in verse 16, he says, why was I not as a stillborn child, as infants who never see the light? There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary are at rest. In verse 20, he says, why is light given to him who is in misery, and life to the bitter in soul who long for death, but it comes not, and dig for it more than hidden treasures, who rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they find the grave? And then in verse 25, for the thing that I fear comes upon me, and what I dread befalls me. So hard to read. Because he's saying things that are so different now. He's going, God, why couldn't I have been a stillborn child? Okay, why would you have me see the light of day? Okay, why do you torture me like this with life when I am longing to die? Because I will do anything to get rid of the pain in my life right now. Why was I ever born? My biggest nightmare just happened to me. Here you've got the most righteous man on earth, and all the pain, all the suffering over time, and you just see him spiraling here, just wishing for a death and not able to find it. And I'm guessing most of you have been with people who have been in similar situations, and you hear things coming out of their mouths that sound so different from how you've ever heard them speak, but that pain is so real, and you just sit there and you don't know what to say. This has happened to me a few times, even in recent weeks, and it was helpful for me to look at Job chapter 3 and go, sometimes pain just brings something out. And it's not that pain makes us sin, but pain reveals. Pain like shows some of what's inside of us. It exposes things. Doubts maybe we didn't know we had, or maybe it's just this self-pity that can so easily consume us. And yet we see from the end of the book of Job, some of the things he says in this process were not okay with God. Some of the things that he says and some of the attitudes he takes are not okay. You know, the scriptures say that we can have this peace that comes, a peace that's beyond comprehension. But it also says in that same passage in Philippians 4:8 that whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is lovely, like our minds need to dwell on those things. And sometimes in these times of pain, all we can see are the things that hurt us. Look, I don't even know what to say here, because some of you have gone through horrific situations. I have listened to stories over the years of people who have suffered in ways I really can't fathom. But that's one of the things about the book of Job, is by reading this, no one can say, well, my suffering is different. My pain, no one understands my pain. The point of the book of Job is, this is as bad as it can get. To lose every person that you love, and then to be struck with this agonizing pain. And so here you have Job just venting and saying these things. And one of the things I learned from the book of Job in counseling, even just in these last few weeks, is just to listen to some of it and not try to come up with answers. To be like Job's friends in that early part where they're just mourning with him. And this is so serious, because I've seen people walk away from God when life got difficult. It happens a lot. People that have been a part of my churches, they were at worship, they were serving, man, godly people, it seemed like they're just, man, everything's going well. But then tragedy strikes, and it's so interesting to watch how different people respond. Man, some of you that are watching this right now, it kills me, because I know that some of you are going to walk away from God. I've just seen it too many times. Like, man, things are okay right now. And maybe you've suffered some, but then sometimes something hits and you just go, there can't be a God anymore. Even though your logic says, no way, Jesus said in this world, you will have suffering. He promised it, but somehow the pain does something in you where you can't think straight. You almost lose your mind. I've counseled couples that have faced tragedy together, and I've seen couples split up because one would choose to hold on to their faith and glorify God through it, and the other would say, no, I can't believe in a God that would allow that to happen anymore. You see, when we're going through the pain, it's so hard to not get myopic in our thinking and just think about how I feel at this moment. But we have to look at the big picture. That's the point of the book of Job, that, again, we are here to bring glory to him. This is why I exist, is to bring glory to his name no matter what comes my way. I need to bring him glory. This is why I exist. You have to see the big picture. And some of you, maybe you are going through so much hurt right now. And like Job in chapter 3, all you can think about is, someone take away this pain. But God can give you power to look at the bigger picture. You know, one of the most fascinating stories in the Bible to me was when Jesus wept. In a lot of ways, I look at that story and I go, this doesn't make sense logically. I mean, Lazarus has died, and so his sisters are there weeping and saying, Jesus, if you just came sooner, you could have saved him from death. But didn't Jesus know he was about to raise Lazarus from the dead? Like, this was going to be like the most powerful miracle up to that point. He had been dead for days and he was about to call him out of the grave. I mean, this is about to be, it's like a movie, and you already saw the end and you know what's coming. Wouldn't you just get excited and go, okay. Yeah. You guys are crying, but you watch what happens. Watch what I'm about to do. I'm the resurrection. But before that happens, he weeps. Why? He knows what's going to happen. Why does he weep? Somehow, in real time,
at that moment of sorrow with everyone else weeping, the Son of God, our Creator, joins them in their weeping. And in that moment, He weeps, which shows us, number one, it's okay to weep. It is right. It is good to weep. And biblically, He tells us to mourn with those who mourn. It's the right thing to do. I would really encourage you this week. Maybe there's people in your group right now that haven't even shared some of the stories, some of the pain. And it's not about rehashing the past. And it's not about just living in the past. This is not about that. It's about how grieving is very real. The Psalms are full of lament. And it's a real part of our human existence. And one of the best things we can do as family, as believers, is not try to give answers and advice, but it's just to mourn with those who mourn. Take some time to be like Christ. Weep. Just mourn, because we live in a fallen world that is groaning for the next life, for the new existence, the new heavens, the new earth. But while we're here, suffering's a real thing, and pain's a real thing. And take the time to love people enough to feel the pain they feel and to grieve with them.